Well, let's turn to God's word, and again, it will be on this theme of Jewish mission. So I haven't stopped talking about the subject. But let's turn to Psalm 124, and let's read God's word. Psalm 124. We sang it earlier. Let's now read the scriptures. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. May the Lord bless and instruct us from his holy word. So, 2020, how's it going for you thus far? I'm encouraged when my phone tells me your screen time is down 10% from last week. I'm very glad. I get off your social media, please, because it's an absolute mess full of vitriol and anger. But it occasionally will give us a little laugh. So I saw this meme of Back to the Future. And you've got Doc and Marty in the DeLorean. And Doc says to Marty, whatever you do, Marty, don't set it to 2020. And then I saw another one that had a Santa Claus with a real grumpy face. And he was simply saying, nobody's getting anything this year. Yes, it's been a challenging year. What is happening? The triple whammy happenings of pandemic and protests and, well, conspiracy theories and crises and all such things. What is going on? We need an answer to this. Now, we see through a glass darkly, but nonetheless, we see far clearer than the world sees. It's been no light thing for all of us. And I'm sure you've had your challenges. I've had my challenges. I remember very early on in about March or April, a godly pastor saying to me, Stephen, you know, I've got to confess I have lost some direction. This has been a hard time for believers. Our faith has been shaken. It's a good thing, perhaps. Well, we know it is a good thing. But nonetheless, it has been shaken. So we need to come to the COVID crisis or the COVID confusion and say, okay, Lord, teach us from your word. Israel had been shaken, stirred, or to quote James Bond, and shaken and stirred and almost swallowed. Israel had come through many, many trials, and Psalm 124 is the response to that. And David says, in the midst of all of such trials, let Israel say. And so what I want to do as we proceed through as swiftly as possible, and I've got 3 points to bring to you. I want to look at it under 2 headings, or rather 2 points of application. So each of those 3 points, I want to look at it from the Jewish point and then from the church point of view. Because I think sometimes we come to the scriptures, sometimes we come to the Psalms, and we steal the Psalms for ourselves. Okay, that applies to me, that applies to Christians, that applies to the church. And so it does to some degree, but in the first instance, it applies to Israel. And so I want us to think these verses through and say, let Israel, scripturally, historically, and even presently, let Israel say something. And then we'll also apply it as we look at let the church respond similarly. Psalm 124 is a psalm of ascent. It is a pilgrim psalm. It is a going up psalm. It is a psalm that brings the worshiper to that higher perspective. Going up to the house of the Lord. It's going up to meet with God. And then meeting with God, then there is a sense, a greater sense and a greater understanding of what is going on in the world. And so in this psalm of ascent, we have David calling upon Israel to do something. My three points that I have before you are, I can't remember whether they're in the bulletin or not. Let me just check. Are they in the bulletin? Maybe I haven't put them in the bulletin for you. Sorry. The three points. I want us to reflect on protective providence. The first five verses speak of the protective providence of God upon Israel. And then we can apply it to ourselves also. So, initially, I want us to reflect upon protective providence. Then in verses 6 and 7, I want us to look at merciful providence to Israel and to the church. And then the final verse, I want us to look at omnipotent providence, the maker of heaven and earth. So first of all, then, protective providence. Reflecting upon protective providence. Let Israel now say. Israel's history was something that they were to regularly remember. You know from the scriptures how Israel had so many different festivals. So they had the festival of Purim, when they reflected upon how Haman wished to wipe them off the planet, but God intervened. So they had Passover, where Egypt wished to wipe them off the planet, but God intervened. And so they had tabernacles where the wilderness would wish to have killed them, but God protected and he tabernacled even with his people. Or Hanukkah at the end of the year. And Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, as you can read in John, of how he came to the Feast of Dedication. Well, that was an intertestamental celebration of God's deliverance, God's protective providence. So in other words, Scripture and history for the Jewish people is full of remembrances. And I'm sure I've said it to you before, but a summary of all those festivals for the Jewish people is, one, they tried to kill us. Two, God saved us. Three, let's eat. That's the festivals. It's Passover, they'll have a meal. And Purim, they'll have feasting. Hanukkah, they'll have their presents as well, and then they'll eat. They try to kill us, God saved us, let's eat. That's the Jewish festivals. They remember God's protective providence. And so we need to say to our Jewish friends today, let's remember God's protective providence. You know, many, many Jewish people are atheists, or at least agnostic. And they're living largely secular lives. And that breaks my heart, because I've got to say, look, your life, your history, your being here is a miracle. You shouldn't be here. Because you should have been wiped out, Jewish people, centuries ago. There are more major civilizations that are no longer here. But this tiny little insignificant people from the Middle East, they're still here. Why is that? Let's think for a moment about Jewish history. Let's think even New Testament Jewish history. After AD 70, you remember, the temple was destroyed. So they were dispersed. They were kicked out of the country, as it were. They had a wandering life for centuries. It was often spoken of the wandering Jew. They had a wandering life, and they were oppressed, and particularly by the Roman Catholic Church. The Jewish people were downtrodden. They were seen as the old folks who God has finished with. If you want to talk about replacement theology, Roman Catholicism is the epitome of replacement theology. Roman Catholicism replaced everything. Even the whole priestcraft of Israel, Roman Catholicism had its own priestcraft. So the true replacementists were the papists and Roman Catholicism in its system. And so for hundreds and even thousands of years, the Jewish people lived under the oppression of the Roman Church. Fast forward a little right through to the year 1492. Again, I don't have the time to give you a full history lesson, but 1492 is pivotal. Why do I say that? Two things happened in 1492. In 1492, all the Jews were expelled from Europe, particularly Spain and Portugal. The edict of expulsion came from King Ferdinand, and they were expelled, and they were sent off to wherever they could find safe haven. Very often they find safe haven in countries that were becoming reformed. We're talking the end of the 1400s, early 1500s, early 1600s. We'll talk in a moment of how Holland came in to their rescue. But the Jewish people were expelled. At the same time as that expulsion, there was also expansion. 1492 was the same year that Columbus sailed. Think of the providence of God. Think of the purposes of God in the whole timeline of human history. So you have the expulsion of the Jews, and you have the expansion now into the New World. And so fast forward again 100 or so years, and you have the first Jewish community in the New World is set up in Recife, Brazil. You have a synagogue there of 1,500 people in Recife, Brazil. But again, if you know your history, you will know that Brazil was not at that time under the Portuguese. At that time, Brazil was in the hands of the Dutch. And so we're on the early 1600s where Holland was becoming reformed. So the Dutch were caring for and finding safe haven for the Jewish people. That's interesting, isn't it? That it was the reformed churches that were caring for the house of Israel. So it was in Recife, Brazil, in the first synagogue. Now, what happened in Recife, Brazil, was that Portugal took over. And again, Brazil became Catholic. And all the Jewish people are kicked out of Brazil. And they're all sent back to Amsterdam. Except one ship of 23 souls finds its way up the coastline and comes into harbor in New Amsterdam. Where's New Amsterdam? Well, 10 years later, New Amsterdam becomes known as New York. And the 23 souls are the first Jewish community in what was later to become the United States. And they were in New York, 23, and today in New York City, 2 million. Cruel men rose up against us. They might say that of the Roman Catholic regime. Catholic Portugal is even kicking them out of Brazil. They're sent back home, but they find safe haven in New Amsterdam. We could chart the history of the Jewish people throughout all their history. It's a miracle. We could chart the way in which that ship was guided. It actually was pirated in the Spanish islands at one point until the Dutch said, "Let my people go." And it continued upon its way. The providence of God, the protective providence of God, is stunning. And we haven't time to even go into how the Jewish people came over from Germany, how the Sephardic Jews came over from Central and Southern Europe, and how the Ashkenazi Jews came over here from Eastern Europe. Think Fiddler on the Roof. They're getting kicked out of Russia because the Russian Orthodox Church is anti-Semitic. And so you have Reb Tevye and Cycle and that whole story of them having to be kicked, move on to come to the New World. Or you have the Statue of Liberty, and you have the poem at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, "Bring me your poor, your huddled masses." Who wrote that poem? Emma Lazarus, a Jewish poetess who won a competition. And her poem was put at the foot of the Statue of Liberty. "Bring me your huddled mass." That's the Jewish longing. And the Jewish immigrants were coming over as the huddled masses. And they were coming over to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Let Israel say. Or we could chart again Israel's progress post the Holocaust. Now, let's be careful when we're talking to Jewish people about the Holocaust. Let's be very, very careful and very sensitive. But post-Holocaust, they have a land. Post-Holocaust, in that land, they're immediately at war with their Arab neighbors. But they're protected, amazingly so. And in 1967,
There's a 6-day war. It lasts 6 days. There was miracle in that. 1973 Yom Kippur War. There was miracle in that. And so we could go on and on. They're still here. Even in their unconverted state, they're still here. And I want to say to my Jewish friends, you are a miracle. No Jewish atheists, please. You can't be an atheist, because God has had his hand of protection upon you. Now, that protection is for a greater purpose. And we want to talk about that. A salvific purpose. But generally, the Jewish people will say, we ourselves have done this. Again, post-Holocaust, they were of a mind that we will survive. We will not let Hitler have a posthumous victory. So they have large families, they educate their kids, they do well, they make sure that they're here. And so they look after their own. But what we want to say is, if it was not for the Lord, you would not be here. David didn't say, it's by my own strength I've got this. Jeremiah didn't say, it's by my own strength I've got this. Jeremiah indeed said at the Holocaust in 587 BC, Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Let Israel say. We want Israel to reflect upon that protective providence. But then also, and time is running away, but then also we want to reflect upon it ourselves. Let Stephen say. Let Nathan say. Let us all say. Let church say. John Flavel, Puritan, he said, there is not such a pleasant history for you to read in all the world as the history of your own lives. If you would sit down and record from the beginning hitherto what God has been to you and done for you, what evidences and outbreakings of his mercy, faithfulness, and love there have been in all the conditions you have passed through. We need to sit down. You know, I'm tempted to say when you get my age, I turn the big 6-0 next month. Happy birthday, yes. 6 decades of perspective. 6 decades of coming up and rising up and ascending the hill of the Lord and seeing the finger of God paint my life. Oh, I could keep you here all night and reflect upon the protective hand of God, the providences of God. And you have a story to tell as well. And when we reflect upon those things, well, so what, COVID? If God has brought us 6 decades, if God has brought us thus far, you know, we say to our Jewish atheists, you know, God didn't die in the 20th century. They say, well, you know, the Holocaust, God died. God can't just die in the 20th century. And my friends, God can't just die in 2020. The God who has been your God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What has the Lord been for you, done for you, protected you, aided you with? What would have swallowed you alive? Well, a quick answer to that is your own sinful nature. The gospel is that we were dead, devilish, disobedient. Ephesians 2, but God broke in and made us alive and seated us in the heavenlies with him. If the Lord had not been on our side, then our sinful nature would have swept us away. Rhett Dodson is a Brother PCA pastor up in suburb of Cleveland. He writes a commentary on Psalm 124, and he says this, God's solution to every trial is himself. And he continues, when life comes caving in and you believe everything is against you, here in Psalm 124, you find a hymn to help you remember that the Lord is for you no matter what may happen. No COVID, no crisis, no cabin fever, no conspiracy theories, no matter what. Let the Christian say, the Lord had not been on our side. Yes, he is. So we need to reflect on
protective providence. Secondly, I will try to be briefer, but we need to continue on and look at merciful providence. Merciful providence, because in verses 6 and 7, we read the illustration of a lamb in the teeth of a lion, or the illustration of a tiny little bird, and the Hebrew word is of like a sparrow-like bird. It's in the snare of the fowlers. If the first five verses would cause us to say, let Israel say, then the next couple of verses is in Israel is saying. In other words, as you ponder the past, it should bring praise in the present. As Israel would really reflect upon its miraculous history, it should say, Baruch Hashem Adonai. It should say, blessed be the name of the Lord. God hasn't let us be eaten. God hasn't let us be in the trap. What hope was there for 23 Jewish souls in Brazil when they've been told you've got to get out? What if we were to tell them, you know, a few hundred years from now, your 23 are going to be 2 million. What hope was for those in Auschwitz? What hope for those who were dying? What hope for those even that were liberated, who were in the teeth of the lion? What if you told them, you know, just wait a few years because you're going back to the land. And there's going to be 7 million Jewish people in the land of Israel in a few decades' time. Hitler didn't win. The Third Reich never happened. The Final Solution collapsed. But instead, the Jewish people are still here. And they're excelling at all levels of society and all levels of ability. The Nobel Prize winners that are Jewish are way outside their numbers. God has blessed. God has protected, God has preserved, God has shown mercy. But what is this for? And this is where we, the church, must examine and come to an understanding of the providences of God of this. There is a merciful providence, but we know it's not so that they'll die. It's so that they'll hear the gospel and live. It's so that they will hear of the Savior who is Jesus, maybe even in West Yellowstone. We are seeing Jewish people come to faith in greater numbers than ever before. Please do read our magazine and even some of the headings. Gospel opportunities in the pandemic. Avi becomes a son of God. Here's my colleague. I call him the gentle giant. I've met him several times in the UK. Egal, former heroin addict, spent years in an Israeli prison. He's now working in a rehab center and seeing many of his own Israelis who are shooting up heroin. Instead, they're coming to faith in Jesus. I think of this one, and this again is my dear brother who works in Leeds, is our missionary in Leeds in England. And he has witnessed for 25 years to this elderly man. This elderly man got COVID. And so my colleague was wondering, well, am I ever going to see him again? Well, actually, the truth was he wasn't going to see him again. But he did manage to get a phone call. And he spoke to Joel about the Messiah and about salvation. And he had been witnessing to him for 25 years. And he prayed. And the man, again, you know my theology, deathbed conversions. Scripture has one deathbed conversion. That's the one on the cross. But Scripture only gives us one. It's not the norm. But there is such a thing as deathbed conversions. And so this elderly man said yes when Richard said, do you want to pray with me right now? And in actual fact, the nurse that was sitting beside his bed said, the whole time you were witnessing to him, the whole time you were explaining to him, he was nodding his head. Snatching brands from the fire. We are seeing Jewish people come to faith. We are seeing God's, not only his protective providence, we are seeing his merciful providence. We are seeing his salvific merciful providence. Let's apply this also then to ourselves. What mercies are we seeing in our lives?
Let's even just think about it in terms of COVID. What mercies are we seeing? Well, it depends again on your perspective. There's a number of things that I've noticed. I've noticed that the great God man has been decapitated. Because it's almost like the Philistine God that the idol just fell down. Because man thinks that he's in control of everything, and now he's not, and it's driving him nuts. Man's divinity has been undermined. I think that's a mercy. I think it's an opportunity for us who preach and teach, and for all of us who witness, to say, hey, don't trust in man. We should trust in the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. If we get through, as is often said, we'll get through. If we get through, it will be by the Lord's hand. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Man's divinity has been decapitated. Science has been seriously shown to be flawed. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not unscientific. I'm simply saying that in all of this, science is all over the map. And the great God science that man has put his trust in has been shown to be fallible. So man has been dethroned. Science has been dethroned. And even, dare I say it, government and governors, they don't have the answers, nor should they have. They're humans. Do not trust in man. Do not trust in the government to solve this. Because when the Lord steps back from his preserving providence, we are like a little lamb in a lion's teeth. Yes, COVID kills. I have had colleagues, not only these instances, but I have a pastor friend that I have known for many years who passed away in the UK from COVID. COVID kills. And there's nothing man can do about it at the moment. And science is all over the map. And the government doesn't have an answer. We are in the lion's teeth. It's humbling, isn't it? But now the church has an opportunity to humble itself before the Lord. And as we respond as we ought to the merciful providence of God in the past, so we plead, and your pastor has already pled even this evening. Please, God, please remove this pestilence from us. Not that we can go back to our toys again and our worldly ways, but that there would be a revival of our understanding of our dependence upon you for every breath. That's the response of Israel. Blessed be the Lord. We have escaped. The snare is broken. We have escaped. Final point. Protective providence, merciful providence, thirdly, omnipotent providence. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And this is where we need to bring this word to our Jewish neighbors as well. This is tough love. Because our Jewish friends will probably have the attitude, well, we've got to look out for ourselves. Pagan man will say that. We've got to look out for ourselves. We're self-made men. And as a Brit that comes over to the U.S. and takes on citizenship, and now I can say my fellow Americans, but I got to say, there's a wonderful pioneer spirit that you have. You get things done. But there's a danger in that. There's a danger in thinking, well, if we don't do it, God, you're kind of dragging your heels a bit here. Well, we'll get it done. Don't worry. There's a danger of placing ourselves and our effort beyond God. And that's where the Jewish people are pertaining to their survival, pertaining to their continuance, and even pertaining to the continuance of the world. One of the things that the Jewish people will engage in is called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam is literally means repairing the world. And some of their mitzvot, some of their good deeds are to repair the world. And they see that as their calling. Now there is a, you misunderstand, there's a good part of that. And then there's a bad part. And the good part is that we are stewards, and we have been set here to be stewards of the world, and we are to be wise in the things that we do with the world. But the bad thing is when it's up to us. And so the Jewish mindset may be, well, we've got to look out for our own, and we've got to care for the world. That's not what David is saying. David is saying our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we in the church need to do the same. We need to have the same testimony, both in reflecting upon the protective providence, responding, Baruch Hashem Adonai, to the merciful providence, and recognizing and even declaring and proclaiming the omnipotent providence of God. That's what we bring to this confused and broken world. Spurgeon said, "Did he create all that we see? And can he not preserve us from evils which we cannot see?" Well, how appropriate that is in days of COVID. Now, that doesn't mean that we be reckless. Did he create all that we can see? Our help is the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Can he not preserve us from evils which we cannot see? I remember a story from the Civil War days when Stonewall Jackson would talk to his soldiers. And Stonewall Jackson, you know, was a good Presbyterian. Stonewall Jackson was a solid believer in the predestination purposes of God. And Stonewall Jackson would say to his soldier, "Soldier, if that bullet has got your name on it, you can't avoid it. But soldier, that doesn't mean you put your head above the parapet." We're not reckless. But we don't live in fear either. Spurgeon, "Can he not preserve us from evils which we cannot see?" No, we're not reckless. I've got my Clorox wipes. And I wipe down every gas pump whenever I'm on the road. And I've got my hand sanitizer. And I wear the mask wherever it's suitable and wherever it's appropriate. We're not reckless. But we're not living in paranoid fear either. How's 2020 going for you? There are some that just think, well, we just wish this were all over. Do you remember the story of Joseph? And with this I close. Remember the story of Joseph and all the providences and all the happenings of Joseph. And not just about Joseph. Remember old Jacob sitting at home and half his family is taken away. And they come back and say, "Well, we had to leave this one behind." It's, no. And no, can we take Benjamin? No, that's not going to happen. And he's sitting there and he's moping and he says, "All things are against me." Have you ever said that in the present situation? Or even other situations? "All things are against me." Are they, Jacob? Are they? Are they really? And you remember the end of the story and how the wagons come from Egypt. And Jacob looks up and sees the wagons and Joseph's alive. "I will go and see him before I die. Because though some meant it for evil, God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives." We don't know the strange providences of God. We can't understand them. And some people are angry and fearful and paranoid and saying everything is wrong in 2020. And Marty, don't press that button for 2020. Instead, church, we should say, and indeed Israel should say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Church should say, Israel should say, "Blessed be the Lord, we have escaped." Church should say, Israel should say, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The maker of heaven and earth. I want you to take this away at least. There is not one maverick molecule in the universe. There is not one maverick molecule in the universe. The crisis may be his correction. The expulsion may be his expansion. The 23 may become the 2 million. And COVID-19, please God, may become Christ 2020. If he pleases us with revival mercies. If we in the church would humble ourselves and pray, and seek his face, that he would turn and heal. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Echad. Those are sweet words for a Jewish person to say. Those are sweet words for the church to say. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. We will not cease to preach this to our unbelieving Jewish friends, and will not cease to preach it in church and in the world, the confused world in which we live. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your direction in the Word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you that it is able to make us wise unto salvation to everyone who believes. We thank you for its food for our soul. Build us up in the midst of these confusing days. Enable us to rise higher. Enable us to have a spiritual perspective, that we can speak to a paranoid world about the Prince of Peace, even Jesus. So send us forth to that calling, that kingdom labor among the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And we pray that you would build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.